Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Here's your Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Absolutely amazing. Listen, even if you weren't listening to the On Deck show earlier today, you know this is going to be an upbeat. And you know I'm fired up after that one. But if you were so very kind enough to listen to the pregame show, to listen to my On Deck show earlier this morning, well, you know I'm through the roof. Because, boy, oh boy, did the boys answer the bell today in a big way. Everything you asked for, everything I wanted to see and more on display today as the Royals refuse to be swept. They take the finale in Cleveland by a final score of 4-2. Cole Reagan says no. Enough. Enough worrying about the offense. Worrying about an injury to Hunter Harvey. What's going on with Jonathan India? Is this offense going to turn it around? Does Cags have a... Who cares? Cole Reagan says no. One of the few men on the planet with the ability to say no in that manner. That emphatically. Boy, did he do his thing today. True ace stuff from Cole Reagans. Now, I'm sure he's done this before, right? The numbers say he's done something similar before. All right, Reagans in his career with Kansas City, when taking the hill following a loss, on average gives you six innings. When he takes the hill after a Royals loss, so far in his career, he's putting up an ERA of 2.19. And shoot, he was top five last year for the American League Cy Young Award. Many of us have already called him an ace. He's game one starter in the wild card round. He's had so many big moments, and maybe I'm just caught up in the moment. But the way that he attacked today, daring Cleveland to hit him, blowing 97, 98, 99 past him, spotting that changeup beautifully to those righties. What I saw today from Cole Reagans is, man, I should have done a little bit more research. I apologize, but boy, I can't remember having this feeling that I have about him right now. I mean, that performance today, where you just come out and say, no, not on my watch. I don't care if my offense doesn't show up. I'll hit a home run myself. Now, boys, give me one run. I'll make it hold up. That's the type of stuff we saw today from Cole Reagans. Now, that's Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, Jack Morris. That's the best of the best right there. No, I don't think I've ever felt this way about Cole Reagans. Phone lines are open for you if you want to talk about it. 913-586-7965. You know, I hope Royals fans have that same feeling. I wonder if I'm alone. You know, I remember having conversations with you throughout last season of who's the ace on this team. You know, I want to believe it's Reagans. You're telling me it's Lugo. I remember first bringing up that conversation around this time last year. in a situation somewhat similar to this, where I'm looking at Reagan saying, I don't care what the guy on the other side does, match him. Outperform him. Outshine him. If he only allows one hit, you throw a no-hitter. And I never really got that affirmative 10-4 from Cole Reagans. I never saw the type of performance where it makes you excited to watch him in Game 7 of a World Series game. Because he can go Madison Bumgarner. He can go Bob Gibson. I haven't had that feeling about Cole Reagans yet. I have it right now. I have it after that performance. 7 2/3 innings, one run on four hits. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't walk a batter again. Double-digit punch-outs again. And I'm putting him with some pretty big names, right? Hall of Famers across the board. Those are the elbows he's rubbing right now. Three straight double-digit punch-out performances. Only Kevin Apier's done that in Royals history. 34 strikeouts in the first four starts of a season. Only Zach Greinke's done that. Now, this was special. This was a special performance for Cole Reagans. Again, 913-586-7965 is our phone number. What a performance. And you know what? It was more than just the star today. It was more than just Reagan's get on my back, I'm leading us to a 1-0 victory. Now, he had that type of stuff, that type of performance, that type of conviction, no doubt about it. But I also mentioned earlier today that in the absence of Jonathan India, that this lineup that Matt Quatrero was putting out there was, well, it was last year's offense. And last year's offense was, at best, middle of the road. And the only way last year's offense reached the heights of middle of the road was because of Herculean efforts from Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez. So it was my thought coming into the game without Jonathan India with a carbon copy lineup from last year. Well, I need a last year type of performance from the 2-3-4 in the lineup. I need a Herculean performance from somebody. Salvi had a chance to be Hercules in the first, and boy, what a shot to the midsection that was in the first inning with Michael Garcia caught on the base paths, and then Salvi grounding into that inning-ending double play. But Salvi comes through big in the fourth, puts the boys on the board, ties it up with that two-run shot. And how about the bottom of the lineup, right? It was more than Hercules. It was more than your ace. This was the type of game you love to take into the work week. Because if it's just Reagans, the concerns about the offense remain. If it was just Reagans and Salvi, you say, okay, our stars were stars, but they're going to need help if we're going to exceed what we did a season ago. Salvi and Reagans can't do it all. We saw how that album plays out last year. In 2025, in the sophomore album, you wanted something more, and you got something more today as Michael Garcia rewards the grimy at-bats of Freddie Fermin and Kyle Isbell. Boy, I could talk about this one all day, Kansas City. I'm interested to see if you are as well. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. My game notes following this 4-2 Royals victory are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's start off with Phil in Shawnee. Phil, you're going to hit lead off this afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Saw or was listening to questions that might or stats that might become pitch clock questions tomorrow, but then I looked through the play-by-play on my phone. I didn't realize this, but Reagan struck out the side in the second around the double and the home run, the inside the park home run. And then he struck out the side in the fourth, and then he struck out the side in the fifth. I don't know, can't remember the last time a Royals pitcher struck out the side in three separate innings. And then you've got basically once he's got that working, it became a benefit of the doubt Sunday, as Ryan Lefevre was saying on the TV broadcast. He was getting the high strikes. And once you're getting the high strikes late, Cleveland, they're in a mess, because he was getting high strikes in the top of the eighth, and Cleveland couldn't catch up to him, and they ended up having to swing at stuff that was out of the strike zone. It was just great. I don't think you'll see a better pitching performance by this team this year than you saw today. And you got to ask yourself a question as they're going to New York. Would you rather be the Royals, who are only averaging 3 runs a game but are at 500 and have the best ERA in the league, or would you rather be the Yankees, who can hit the ball but can't pitch? That's a question that will hopefully be answered these next 3 days.
Terrific phone call. Way to get us started, Phil. Always strong, buddy. Nice hearing from you. Great point. Great point, and it should be a lot of fun coming up the next 3 nights. 3 in the Bronx and then 4 in Motown as this sizable early season road trip rolls on. Royals drop 2 of 3 in Cleveland, but they salvage 1 at the end, and I agree wholeheartedly. We likely won't see a better start all season than this. I hope we do. But ladies and gentlemen, in the history of this organization, only 4 other dudes have ever done what Cole Reagans did today. 7 2/3, 1 earned run, 10 punch-outs, no walks. Only 4 other people have matched those numbers. Seth Lugo did it last year. Rich Gale did it in 1978. Mark Ubizaw did it in 1986. And Zach Greinke did it 3 times in his Royals career. So no doubt, Phil, we likely won't see a performance like that again in 2025. Certainly not in Kansas City. I can't imagine. Cole Reagans, now with 34 strikeouts, he leads Major League Baseball. Let's go to Lance in Overland Park. Lance, you're next up on 96.5. The Fan, as the Royals get back to 500, now an even 8-8. Go ahead.
All right, perfect. Yeah, I was wondering what their record was, because I tuned into the game late, but as soon as I saw Reagan's pitch count and that we had the lead 4-2 and it was the 7th inning, I was like, okay, something's going good here. Right. And then it was the icing on the cake watching Miguel get his 3rd hit of the evening, because I'm in. Is it just me, or does it look like he's swinging a metal the bat is looking like a magnet, and the ball is looking like metal? It's hard to explain. If you watch, you know what I'm saying. It's just the pass and the levelness and the bat head is always on point with Mikel, and that kind of hitting will play in the postseason. I can't wait.
Oh, great phone call. Keep it going. Thank you very much, Lance. Appreciate the phone call. I know exactly what you're talking about. He's squaring everything up, and yeah, that bat path stays in the strike zone a very long time. Hey, go watch his cousin, Ronald Acuna. When he's right, same thing, that bat path, tough for me, bat path stays in that strike zone, which is what everyone's going for. Keep that bat in the zone for as long as possible and hope you guess right, because the pitching nowadays is too good and the velocity is never ending. But when you square it up, when your bat is in the zone as long as it is, now let the pitcher supply the velocity. Mikel's doing that. He's also tagging a ton of baseballs, 24 hard-hit balls this season. Bobby's top 10 in baseball with 27, but Mikel right there, 24 hard-hit balls so far in 2025. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Royals win 4-2. They're back to 500. Cole Reagans, certainly the story, but his relievers, right? The relievers that came in behind him also got the job done. 4 outs, all via the punch out. Lucas Erceg finishing off the 8th inning. How about Erceg's start to the season? This dude, unbelievable. For the year, Erceg has faced 20 batters and he has recorded 20 outs. Tough to do much better than that. Meanwhile, Carlos Estevez picks up his fifth save of the season. He now has the second most saves in all of Major League Baseball. And to go back to Phil's point, and I know the great Mike Swanson is out there saying, well, he didn't, Cole Reagans really didn't strike out the side in the second inning. The true definition of striking out the side is you face the side, which is three batters, and you strike them all out. But to your point, Phil, three strikeouts for Reagans in the second, three strikeouts for Reagans in the fourth, three strikeouts for Reagans in the fifth, three strikeouts for Estevez in the ninth. Add it all up, 14 punchies today delivered by Royals pitching. 10 for Reagans, 1 for Urseg, and the trio at the end from Carlos Estevez. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Steven in Kansas City, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead, Steven.
Good afternoon, Vern. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with your analysis on the offense, on the Kansas City Royals offense. You like to quote the fact that I never call after wins, so I'm going to call.
I'm shocked.
I'm going to call after a victory. My question is, if we're going to, we have to score three or four runs to win like we did in 2015 and we won a world championship, do we need to bring up somebody like Caglione from the minors? Or, you know, remember last year against the Yankees, we didn't have Vinny. So maybe we can pull something together. I'm not optimistic that these guys can do it under pressure, but we're going to see this week. I'm going to hope they can find something to make themselves better. But I love to watch the series where it's all on the line and you can't hide and you can't get by on just barely getting by. So that's my analysis for the day. I think we need to do torpedo bats or something like we have a torpedo bat factory involved with City, and they're going to have one. They're building one on Nexus. So let's get guys up from the minors, the big dudes up from the minors, and get everybody hooked up with torpedo bats. And that's the way I think we could win a world championship or an AL pennant. Just a thought. I don't know if they're that creative, but we'll see. Thank you, Bert.
Thank you, Steven. Steven in Kansas City checking in after the boys pick up win number 8 on the season. Steven, very nice to hear from you following a victory, man. Let's keep it up. Like to hear from you more often after wins and losses. Let's go to Brooklyn in Kansas City. Brooklyn, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I just wanted to point out how good Cole Reagans looked today, obviously, and I think what was really impressive was keeping the Guardians only 5 hits today. They've been a team who has been just slugging the ball, especially these past 2 games. And I like to see the bottom of our lineup getting more hits the way that they did today. I think Mikel Garcia looked great leading off. It looked like he never left that leadoff spot. I think Jonathan India is going to do great, but I just love that we have someone that we can put in that place right there. And I think this is just a great win going into play in New York, Vern.
Yeah, well said, Brooklyn. Appreciate the phone call. Mikel Garcia, 3-hit performance, his first of the season. And just like that, Mikel's hitting 300. Kyle Isbell, 3-hit performance, his second 3-hit performance this week. And boom, just like that, Kyle Isbell's hitting 282. The latest reminder that it is still very early. 913-586-7965. Lugo, Waka, Bubic lined up for the series in the Bronx. Currently going up against Carlos Carrasco, Max Fried, and Clark Schmidt. I believe Schmidt's going to be fresh off the IL. Max Fried is a monster, as you likely know, and Carlos Carrasco, you remember him from his days in Cleveland. You'd like to think that he's on the wrong side of 30, probably the wrong side of 35, but just seen him have success a few too many times in the past where I'm happy the Royals have Lugo going, but I have the proper amount of respect for the vet in Cookie Carrasco. 913-586-7965. Now, Brooklyn, you can't shine enough of a light on what Cole Reagans did today. 7 2/3 innings of one-run baseball on just 89 pitches. On those 89 pitches, 20 of them whiffed. They offered and just missed. 14 of them were called strikes, so 38% of the pitches thrown today by Cole Reagans were either stared at for a strike or swung on and missed for a strike. Complete dominance as he picks up his first win of the season and his first career win against the Cleveland Guardians. Cole Reagans is today's Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game. And for being named Player of the Game, Reagans and his wife will receive a delicious gourmet dinner for two from Guaranteed Foods to prepare and enjoy at home, including a filet, some shrimp cocktail, twice-baked potatoes with cheddar cheese, and two slices of the, oh, you're going to love, the gourmet turtle cheesecake for dessert. It'll all be delivered to your home. All you have to do is add wine. Congratulations again to our Guaranteed Foods Player of the Game, Cole Reagans. All right, back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. We go to Tyler in Lee Summit. Tyler, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Vern. Love this time of year. Just wanted to quickly say I'm really feeling Mikel Garcia in that leadoff spot, baby. It looks good. Great to see Bobby and Salvi are starting to heat up. Isbell 3-for-3 and 282. I mean, what else do you want from him? Reagans is a true ace, man. No walks, double-digit Ks again. I mean, we can beat anybody with that performance. And again, score four runs or better. That's going to be the ticket for us this year. So we got to at least score, you know, four or five runs, and we'll be all right. And again, I like our matchups against the Yankees pitching next week. We can get those guys. So anyway, thanks for taking my call, guys. Happy Sunday and go Royals.
Thank you. Nice to hear from you. Royals are 6-1 this season when they score at least four runs. You know, CDOT asked me when I joined him on the drive on Friday, what was I hoping for in this 10-game road trip? Now, what I was hoping for was retribution in Cleveland, revenge in the Bronx, and a reminder to Detroit that it ain't your time just yet. Well, you didn't necessarily get redemption in Cleveland. Yeah, Kyle Bubich hit Kyle Manzardo, but he didn't really wear it, and you dropped 2 of 3. I said I wanted 5 wins. You know, 5-5, and we're going to be celebrating on the postgame show. Give me 2 in Detroit, 2 in New York. I think it's possible. Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Chris Bubich. Of course, this team can take 2 in the Bronx. Urseg will be ready to go, right? He got up and threw a little bit yesterday. 5 pitches today. You would imagine he's going to be available tomorrow. Estevez is going to be available tomorrow. Zerpa is going to be out there. Yeah, started off right. Seth Lugo on the hill. I'd like to think the Royals are going to be the favorites. But I guess that depends on how the bettors are feeling about this Royals offense. That still, 4 runs is nice, sure. They've been held to 4 runs or fewer in 14 of the first 16 games. Going to the Bronx, and that hitter-friendly ballpark hopefully could unlock a thing or two. Maybe Salvi unlocked something with that 2-run blast in the 4th inning. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Take a quick timeout. We'll get right back to your thoughts after this.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Royals take the finale in Cleveland. They salvage one against the defending division champions, doubling up the Guardians. 4-2, the final score. The Royals record back to an even 500. And we're back to the phone calls. Let's go to Mike in Kansas City. You're on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals ride their horse today. Cole Ragans with a studly performance, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think they should replace Stratton with Cruz, and then I think...
Well, they're both on the team right now.
I think Stratton eventually, I hope he gets replaced with someone, but because I don't think he's going to get better. And then Sam Long, maybe reason why he's been pitching bad, because he was hurt the whole time. And then also... I don't know what they're going to do with MJ and Hunter Renfro. So I think they're going to make an acquisition sometime this year for an outfielder. They're going to have to.
Yeah, possibly, Mike. Thanks for the phone call. We go to Larry at Excelsior Springs. You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals won, again, 4-2, the final score.
Hey, Vern. I'm just real happy with the way Cole Ragans pitched today. And I like seeing Mikel Garcia back at third base. I love that defense, and that's the way I want it to go the rest of the year. My only concern is we've got two outfielders who are producing nothing, and I know it's too early to send anybody down, but I think we got to start talking about a platoon situation with Renfro and MJ. I think that that would improve a lot of things, I think, and either Waters or India in left field or whomever, yeah. But I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for the phone call, and they have been, right? Prior to Jonathan India going down, for the most part, it was Renfro or Melendez in the lineup, but India not in there, unable to play left field. You need two corner outfielders, right? Drew Waters has received starts in two games since being called up. You know, I think that platoon has already happened, right? Mark Canna goes down with an injury. We were seeing Mark Canna play left field. You know, you guys are, right? We're all seeing the Royals are adjusting. This isn't the evaluation season of 2023. This isn't even 2024 where Hunter Renfro's new to the team. You know, they're not trying to force feed Hunter Renfro. They're not trying to force feed MJ's bat, but MJ's glove warrants his name being in the lineup over Hunter Renfro, over Drew Waters, over take your pick of any other corner outfielder. You know, 16 games in, no, it's not the right time to call up Jack Caglione. If you were going to do that, he should have been there opening day. But, yeah, I just Larry, Mike, Steven, what have you seen from this organization that leads you to believe that they won't be aggressive at the trade deadline? That if there's a need in the outfield, that they won't address it? You know, hopefully Caglione is the answer. I'm not there yet. You know, maybe John Rave is the answer. Maybe. Or maybe they need to go outside the organization like they have each of the past two off seasons. Right? Lucas Ursay, Hunter Harvey, Cole Ragans. These guys were all acquired in deadline deals. Now go find the outfield equivalent of Lucas Ursay, of Cole Ragans, of Hunter Harvey. That's the job of J.J. Piccolo. Now sure, it'd be nice. Hey, go get Luis Robert. You know, go get the most obvious soon-to-be free agent. Sure, that'd be nice if he did that. But when you're the general manager of this franchise, in this market, in this league, you might need to dig a little bit deeper. Try and find that, again, outfield equivalent of Lucas Ursay. There are options and there will be options if and when the offense needs the boost. Now, I know what you're saying. Doesn't the offense need a boost right now? Yes, it does, but it needs it from Salvi, Vinny, Jonathan India, and Michael Massey. Now, let's not act like an outside bat's going to come in and change everything. No, you need your studs to be studly. And for the most part, Jonathan India's just been, not bad offensively. Vinny Pasquantino's been fine. Salvi's been disappointing. The underlying metrics would tell you that he's going to turn it around, but still he's been disappointing. Michael Massey's been disappointing. If I would have told you that Massey, Salvi, India, Vinny are all going to have numbers coming into today below league average, no, you wouldn't think that the offense is any good. And you certainly wouldn't think that the offense is one acquisition away from it all turning around. Now, everyone needs to contribute. And you know what? Maybe Mikel Garcia is going to be the guy this year. Maybe he'll be the one to come alongside Bobby and Salvi and Vinny to offer a little bit of help. He won the game today with that two-run double in the fifth inning. Mikel now has 9 RBI on the season. That's second most on the team. Let's go to Steve in Overland Park. Steve, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. Great game today. Just absolutely enjoyable. And I don't have as much of an observation as I have a question. I go back a ways. I heard you reference John Smoltz and Bob Gibson today, and I don't want to take anything away from the masterful pitching performance today. But here's my question, because I don't know how this new electronic stuff works with the communication between the battery mates, but shouldn't Freddie Fermin get just a little bit of the love today?
Of course. Of course. Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to add on to it. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Well, I mean, you know, back in the day, Tim McCarver probably didn't get much of the love when Bob Gibson was out there mowing people down. But, I'd like to know how this thing works. I mean, does Freddie call most of the pitches, all the pitches? The pitcher used to just shake off the catcher. But how does it work now? And I'll listen off air if you can tell me how this thing works.
Yeah, hopefully I can, Steve. I appreciate the phone call. No doubt the catcher deserves a lot of credit, right? They're a partner out there. And for the most part, yeah, the catcher is calling the game. Now, there are a few pitchers. You know, Seth Lugo will call his own game. Zach Greinke called his own game. But Freddie Fermin is widely respected. Widely respected around the game for his defensive prowess, right? He was a Gold Glove candidate last season. Widely respected in those pitching meetings. Widely respected in the clubhouse because of his work ethic. Now, you talk to anybody, they'll tell you Salvi's the first one in the gym every day. Freddie's the second. Wherever Salvi goes, Freddie's right behind him because he's learning from one of the best ever. And Freddie's widely respected on this show. I fell in baseball love with Freddie Fermin back in the pandemic. Watching him work, the way that he encouraged his teammates out in Arizona. All right, wasn't a part of the big league camp, but was just out there having the time of his life, treating every single bullpen like it's Game 7 of the World Series. I love Freddie Fermin. But as far as how the communication works, you know, there's a little like a keypad. Most pitchers wear it on their belt. Most catchers have it, you know, sometimes down by their knee. And there are buttons on it. And each button is a different pitch. Combinations of buttons can be different pitches. And, you know, Freddie hits a button and in the little speaker that they put in their caps, Cole Reagan's out there on the mound will hear, you know, fastball, slider, changeup, curveball, whatever. Also, the center fielder can hear it, the second baseman, the shortstop, a few of the position players can wear the microphones as well. But like I mentioned, Seth Lugo, he'll stand up there and call it himself. You'll see him go to his belt and, hit a button or two. That sends the message to Freddie or Salvi, whoever's behind the dish, and they plan accordingly. I believe that Lugo is the only one that calls his own game. I know Lorenzen's turned it over to Salvi, loves working with Salvi. Reagan's and Freddie. Waka occasionally will call his own pitches, but he normally turns that over to the catcher, as does Chris Bubich. But again, they go over every single scenario, every single hitter before the game, before the series. There's plenty of preparation prior to play ball. Hey, nice hearing from you, Steve. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Batman in Kansas City. Batman, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Vern. You know, I think we passed the test on the way that this team was going to react to a must-win situation, even though it's early in the season. We needed to win this one as bad as you could possibly win a ball game early in the season. To not only start of this road trip, but just to get the confidence and the juices flowing again. You know, I was worried about you the last couple of nights, and I thought we might get an early Vern tirade if they got swept. But you know what? That effort by Cole Reagans, it reminded me, a lot of Zach and saves and some of the old pitchers, Gooby, Dennis Leonard. You know what I mean? It's just like you got your horse out there, and I'm telling you, he didn't flinch the whole game. Just an unbelievable effort. And then when Salvi hit that homer, that was exactly the start of what we needed to recoup what we had left to gain here in the last game of the series. So all I can say about what happened was you called it. You said we had. In your voice, I could hear the last night about the must win. Well, we did need to win the ball game, and now we can go ahead and we can get some payback from the Yanks. You know what I mean? The next two series are going to be unbelievable. It's thank you for taking my call, Vern. I love you, man.
Yeah, thanks for placing it, Batman. I'm with you, buddy. Nice to hear from you. 913-586-7965. Don't forget, all three games in New York, 6:05 first pitch, Kansas City time. So I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock. You'll have a chance to win Royals tickets right around 5:15 coming up Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. We got to take one quick final timeout. Jack Caglione done it again, ladies and gentlemen. The latest on the top prospect, and we get back to your phone calls, your text messages, and we'll bring you our cool play of the game from our friends. Ooh, boy, from MVP Air Conditioning, Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electric. Now, I got to kind of debate. You got Salvi's home run. You got the two-run game-winning double from Michael Garcia. Which one will be our MVP air conditioning cool play of the game? Find out after this.
DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Punched through the right side, a base hit into right center field. Vermeen's in to score. Isbell rounds third. He scores right behind Vermeen. And Michael Garcia sprints into second with a two-run double. He hit it so hard that it pierced through the alley in right center field. Garcia drives in a pair, and the Royals have a 4-2 lead.
That would be your final score. Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan. 107 miles per hour off of the bat of Michael Garcia. His second of three hits. It goes with a fastball away. Outside part of the plate goes with it. And as Jake said, rockets it to right center field, hustles for a double, puts the boys ahead for good as Cole Ragans, Lucas Erceg, and Carlos Estevez did the rest. Mikel, one of two Royals with three hits on the day. Kyle Isbell with his second three-hit performance of the week. Izzy only had three-hit games all of last year, and he already has two this week. Mikel's game-winning two-run, one-out double in the fifth is today's MVP Air Conditioning Cool Play of the Game. Brought to you by MVP Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and Electric. Get your AC ready for summer and running efficiently with a tune-up for only $39. Go to the MVPKC.com or call 913-322-0868 today. MVP, one call does it all. Let's go to the phone calls as the Royals are back at 500, 8-8 on the season. We go to Emporia. Bill, you're next up on the postgame show on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. This doesn't have so much to do with the game today, but with Jack Cowley, is he getting, if not, what does our farm system
is he
look
what?
Like
you're breaking up a little bit, Bill. What's your question about Caglione?
Is he getting a lot of reps in the outfield?
Not yet. Hasn't played a game in the outfield, but he is getting work in the outfield in between games, I've heard.
Okay. I kind of see him fitting in the outfield maybe to be his best avenue up, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly right now there's no question about it, Bill. That's the avenue. And when I say getting work in the outfield, you know, it's batting practice, shagging fly balls, starting to try and get reads, get jumps. Yeah, that's, to me, the best avenue is to try and get him some time at the AAA level, get him some time in the corner outfield. Wouldn't be surprised if he's in AAA by this time next month. As a matter of fact, just about 15 minutes ago, this happened down in Northwest Arkansas with Jack Caglione at the dish.
Delivers. Caglione gives it a ride out to left. Continuing to carry at the track, at the wall, it's out of here.
406 feet, his third home run on the season. Cags was 0 for his previous eight. But no one really cares about that anymore. Caglione threw nine games at the AA levels, hitting .289, OPS north of .900. Five of his 11 hits have gone for extra bases. He has 10 strikeouts, four walks, two throwing errors at first base. Thanks for the phone call, Bill. 913-586-7965 at the big league level. Bobby Witt Jr. picked up another knock today. He got things going right out of the gate with a single in the first, 113 miles per hour off of his bat. Bobby's got a nice six-game hitting streak going, and that batting average looking at a pretty .305 right now. Let's go to Tommy in Kansas City. Tommy, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Vern. First off, just want to say great show as always. Just, I really appreciate what you do. You've got great passion. And I think I speak for everybody else out here that even in the bad years and all those, you know, last few years, it's been nice to know that we're not all crazy for following this team as much as we do, because we've got you on the radio. Thanks, every night telling us. So I appreciate it. Real quick, because I'm sure this show is wrapping up. The comp I see anymore for Ragans, I used to sing Cole Hamels. With his velocity playing up in the strike zone, like, there were times today he looked like Randy Johnson. You know, it was just long levers, just setting it up. I mean, the speeds were great. I mean, I think Randy had a better, like, sweeper, like, big slider. But that fastball up was just dominant.
Yeah, and the changeup is as good of a changeup as there is in the game when it's paired with that upper 90s fastball that Ragans is bringing consistently.
I mean, his demeanor is just intoxicating to see. Yeah. Last thing I wanted to say, I think I'm one of the only people, because seemingly everyone else has always loved him. I've never really been, you know, that excited by Michael Massey in general. It's not just because he's gotten off to a slower start. I mean, it's just how many times can we see, like, it's like he's not swinging hard. Like, he hits just not even warning track fly balls. And I almost feel like he's the type of player that is almost so trying to play smooth and, you know, in control and kind of gliding around with his swing. He never looks like he's attacking anything. He never looks like he's, you know, fired up. I don't know. He almost looks like he's just trying to be too smooth. So I don't know what can be done about that. My thought is, if anything, put him in right field. You know, I mean, get him just, I guess, out there just to try to get his bat alive. But the last thing I ever want to see is Caglione in right, and I'll leave it at that. I just think, you know, that's the best way for him to end up trying to learn a new position and get hurt. You know, so it's like, that's the one way I think it really screws up for us. So I'll listen off the air, but thanks again, Vern, and go Royals.
Yeah, good phone, really good phone call. Great phone call. Nice to hear from you. Yes, Michael Massey today, 0 for 4, three punch-outs, swinging through a pair of change-ups. Now, swinging through a pair of change-ups can make you look like you're not always swinging hard. Well, I can promise you Michael Massey cares. You know, there's maybe at times he gets in his own head. And, you know, whatever type of emotion or lack thereof that you're observing maybe is just a young man that is thinking a touch bit too much. That's possible. And I do think you'll see him in the corner outfield. I think more likely in left than right. But Massey got plenty of work in left field throughout spring training. And, you know, maybe giving him that challenge in a big league game would help clear his mind, or at least take his mind off of the endless failure that hitting provides. It doesn't always have to provide endless failure, but it's been a rough go for Massey right now, and I could see him, you know, spinning his wheels a little bit too much. And Tommy, your point about Jack Caglione, man, I'm not going to fight you on that. I don't see this team as desperate right now, sitting at 8-8. I don't think you need to be desperate for Jack Caglione's bat. I understand what the statistics say, but again, show me a lifeless Royals offense that has a productive Salvador Perez, Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Witt Jr., Jonathan India. Let me see those guys performing well to truly understand what this offense is. Because if those things don't happen, if those top four don't get it clicking, boy, it's going to be a long summer with or without Jack Caglione. But your point about him getting hurt in the outfield, I think is a warranted conversation, or at least a warranted concern. It's not easy to learn a new position at the big league level. Now, MJ Melendez, I've said it plenty of times, this is a guy that took a year and a half, in my opinion, before he became a league average corner outfielder. And MJ's a better athlete than Jack Caglione. He's just built differently. He's just more athletic. I don't want Cags viewed as a savior in 2025. Now, well, what I mean by that is I don't want him viewed as a savior at the big league level. I mean, you can view him that way if you want. But I don't want the decision makers viewing him that way. I don't want Cags called up to fix things. I want him called up to help, to contribute, to be a weapon, but not to turn an offense around, because he's not going to do that, in my opinion. He can help. He can help a winning team win more. But the Royals are not a winning team yet. No team is really a winning team 3 weeks into the season. Give me to July. Show me who you are. And then hopefully Cags can be a weapon and not the savior. Really good phone call. Nice to hear from you. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Let's go to Noah in Shawnee. You're next up, Noah, on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Vern. Two things. One, shout out to my dad, Andre, if you're listening. We're delivering Amazon packages together at the same time, so I'll call you in like 10 minutes. Number two, I don't want to be super recency biased on the hot hitting of Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia, but when Jonathan India is in the lineup, they bat 8 and 9. Is there any chance you could see Michael moving up to 5, maybe 6, and Isbell moving up to that 7 spot? That's all I got for you. Thanks, Vern.
Sure, anything is possible, but I think Kyle Isbell, and again, a lot of it has to do with the makeup of the lineup, right? If MJ's in there, MJ's likely hitting 7, so that Izzy's going to be 9. You know, maybe you flip those two, right? Maybe Izzy can go to the 7 spot and MJ's the 9 hitter. I wouldn't be opposed to that. That's possible, sure. Michael hitting 5th. Boy, I want a bet. We all want a better option, right? You want a little bit more thump in the 5 spot, but Massey's not bringing that thump. Renfroe, Melendez, Waters. Yeah, there are no bad ideas when your offense is statistically as bad as this one has been through the first 16. I'll reiterate, the turnaround begins with those names at the top 4 spots. But if you're going to be better than a middle-of-the-road offense, yeah, everyone needs to contribute, no doubt. So sure, those things can happen. The only thing I don't believe will happen anytime soon is a change at the top 4 spots, right? The India, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, in some particular order, that is not going to change for a while. For a long while. You brought Jonathan India here to be your leadoff hitter. Bobby's not going anywhere. And you're going to give Vinny and Salvi every opportunity to be those run producers that they were last year and that you need them to be again this year. Let's go out to Washington. Jason, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 4-2 and get back to 500. Jason, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Great game. I know you mentioned J.J. Piccolo earlier, but some serious kudos to the front office, because let's remind ourselves, man, Reagan's for 2 months of Aroldis Chapman, because what the heck is Chapman doing right now?
I think he's closing in Boston.
I don't know, but yeah, some serious, yeah, so. Love that trade. But one other thing, I believe MJ has options still, but if Renfro is still hitting the way he is come June, the only thing we could do is DFA him, right?
Correct.
I mean, 'cause he's not trade bait.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thanks for all you do, Vern. Love you, man. I'll listen off air. Have a good one.
Yeah. Love you too. I don't think they'll hesitate to do that. You put the June 1st date out there? That sounds about right. Maybe even sooner. Who knows? Renfro today 0-for-4 with a pair of punch-outs. He did play a solid right field. Got to give it up to Renfro. Now, defensively today, still left a little to be desired. A nice plays by MJ as he throws out Carlos Santana at second base. I mentioned a nice running sliding catch from Hunter Renfro. Bobby's errant throw, though, a two-base error, leads to the second Cleveland run. Thankfully, though, Bobby has a track record that leads us all to believe we're not going to see mistakes like that very often from the Gold Glover. 913-586-7965. Royals starting pitching has allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in 15 of the 16 games this season. Wow. As a whole, Royals starting pitching, second most strikeouts in Major League Baseball, second lowest ERA in Major League Baseball, a mark of 2.77. Wow. Let's go back to Shawnee and talk with Big T. Big T, nice to hear from you, pal. Go ahead.
Hey, happy Sunday, Vern. So, yeah, it's nice to see the Royals avoid the sweep. Good job by them. It was good to see the captain get us started with that 2-run homer. Maybe that dude could get hot heading to New York. And how fitting, Vern, with Izzy. That was a part of your on-deck show question. He ends up with three hits. Nice job by that cat. And then Garcia, you know, I have nothing against Jonathan Indy, but I like to see Garcia lead off a little bit more, Vern. I think he does a good job up there at that. I'm nothing against Jonathan at all either.
Well, he doesn't do a good job. That's why you went out and got Jonathan India, right?
Well,
I mean, we saw it last
today.
Year. He didn't do a good job.
Well, he did today, and that's all that counts.
Right.
So
I agree.
You know, and then also, Vern, you know, how about Jay Binkley? You know, if you followed his bet, you know, he won you some money. But
yes,
the real
did.
Story today is Cole Reagans. He had the big dog on the porch performance today. I tip my cap to that young cat. He leads the majors in strikeouts. Outstanding job by that young man. Way to go. And you know how much I loathe the Yankees, Vern. Let's go out and beat the Yankee pond scum. And as always, let's go Royals. Choo-choo! Choo-choo-choo!
A career high 7 2/3 innings of work today from Cole Reagans. On the season, he has 34 strikeouts and just 4 walks. An ERA of 2.28. Wow. All right, Frank in Olathe. Frank, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Vern, you said a mouthful. 15-1. So you're 15-1 in the last 16 games with the starting pitching giving up 3 runs or fewer, and you're only .500. So that tells you that you're not hitting the baseball. I mean, the bullpen has been way better than it has last year. Last year's bullpen to start the season was atrocious, and they cost us a lot of games. So you've got – the only thing you've got to do is you've got to get 1-4 hitting again, which that'll happen. But if you're going to bring Cags up, you're going to bring him up to strengthen the bottom of this lineup. The reason that you have MJ in there and you have Renfro is because you have injuries right now. And MJ's defense is good. He just can't hit. So with that being said, you have to make the change if you're going to do whatever. But right now you can't do that because you have injuries unless you're going to trade. And you said June 1st. I think Renfro's May 15th. If he doesn't show major improvement by May 15th, you need to DFA him and move on. But if we continue to do what we're doing, we chug up the hill and we get over this little offensive slump that we're in, this is a very good baseball team. If you look around the division, not very good. The Tigers are underachieving. The Twins are underachieving. And the Indians and the Guardians, we're 2-4 against them. We don't see them again until July. And if you look at the roster, the Indians are regressing from what they were last year. They're not winning 97 games or whatever they won last year. They're just not doing it. So I think we're in a good spot. But if you're going to bring up Cags, he needs to strengthen the bottom of that order. I don't know where you're going to put him in the field, though, because I don't think he's ready to play outfield. I don't think you bring him up to be DH. So you have to look at that, what you're going to do with him. But Renfro has got to go if he doesn't start producing. And as long as we get that 1-4 going, we get Bobby hitting, we get Salvi hitting, we get Vinny hitting, we get Jonathan India hitting, this team is going to be fine. It's just we got to do something with that bottom of the order and those two corner outfielders, what they're going to do.
Sure.
I don't know what the answer is. MJ maybe sending him down is the answer. It worked for Moose when he was here, but I don't know if that's the answer either. I think MJ's kind of run his course. I think he is what he is. Awesome defender, just can't hit major league pitching.
Frank, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Royals 8-8, a half game back of Cleveland, a game and a half back of Detroit. Tigers, the only team in the division with a positive run differential. Frank brings up last year's Cleveland ball club. They won 92 games, 6 more than the boys in blue. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals win 4-2.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? Yeah, dominant performance by Reagans, 10 Ks and 7-1/2 innings, and great job by the bullpen and Salvi with the home run in the fourth and the big double by Garcia. And then the play of the game, Vern, was when Freddie and Isbell were down 0-2 and worked those walks off of Lively.
Sure.
I think that was the play of the game, then Garcia with the double. And let's take care of the Yankees. Let's go sweep them. Take care of yourself, Josh.
Well, that's a good point. You bring up that 2-run fifth inning where the Royals won the game today. Freddie Fermin with 1 down and nobody on falls behind Ben Lively 0-2. 7 pitches later, he draws a walk. Kyle Isbell, as Dan points out, with Freddie on first and one out, Izzy falls behind 0-1. 4 pitches later, he's lacing a full count offering to right field for a double. From 0-2 to 3-2, he rips a fastball to deep right center field, as Ben Lively tried to go in Izzy's kitchen, and he made him pay for it. Second and third with one out, and that's what led us to today's cool play of the game, Mikel Garcia's game-winning one-out, two-run double in the fifth inning. And I'm glad you mentioned Salvi. Shout out to Salvi and that two-run blast that he hit in the fourth inning. Career home run number 275. Wow. 275 home runs. Only 10 catchers in baseball history have hit 275 home runs. Salvi's now seven back of matching Brian McCann for eighth most in baseball history by a catcher. Let's go up to Iowa, talk to Jeremy. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Jeremy, go ahead.
I always love listening to you when I can. I live stream you from here from Iowa. I've been a Kansas City fan for years. But the one thing I want to ask you something. You know, Salvi's a veteran. And I don't think he gets enough credit. And he was there from the time that they won the World Series Hall. And I just wish more people would give him more credit because he's number one in my book.
Yeah. Jeremy, I think last year was huge for Salvi outside of Kansas City. I think last year it became a bit more commonplace to acknowledge that Salvi's a future Hall of Famer. If they can get back to the postseason this year, I don't know what the next level of stardom is for a guy like Salvi. I mean, last year's All-Star game, he's the first guy on national TV that they're interviewing after the American League won that game. Salvi's already a hero in Venezuelan baseball. He's a hero in Kansas City. He's widely respected in the game, maybe not so well known outside of Kansas City. Now, baseball fans everywhere know Salvador Perez, but the common sports fan, maybe not. But you let Sal get back to October again this year. You put him on the biggest stage of the World Series, and he'll get the credit. I think he does, to be quite honest. I think he gets the proper amount of reverence in baseball circles. I know he does in Kansas City.
Just like back in the day when it used to be Mike Sweeney. That was the big one. That's who I loved. Mike Sweeney.
Yeah. And Salvi's even gone to another level because of that ring you talk about in 2015. Thanks for the phone call, Jeremy. Salvi, by the way, passed Joe Mauer on the all-time RBI leaderboard when it comes to catchers. Now, Salvi, the one thing that maybe doesn't go as appreciated as it should, to go with what you're saying, Jeremy, is he's coming up on his 35th birthday, right? To still answer the bell every single day, to almost demand that his name's in the lineup every single day. Pretty impressive for a guy that is still crouching behind that dish more times than not. Salvi the DH today, 1-for-4. With that two-run home run in the fourth inning, as he gets some redemption after missing a big opportunity in the first, Salvi comes through, and he's now just 42 home runs away from matching George Brett's franchise record. He'll have to wait until tomorrow, but he has those short porches in New York waiting for him. Royals-Yankees. Oh, it doesn't get much better than that. A rematch of last year's ALDS. Seth Lugo and Carlos Carrasco set to go at it coming up Monday night at 6:05. All three games in the Bronx start up at 6:05. Lugo, Carrasco tomorrow. Waka and Max Fried coming up in game two. Boy, that's going to be a treat. And then Chris Bubich and Clark Schmidt, two former relievers, squaring off in the finale on Wednesday night. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Woo! What a game. Way to go, Cole Reagan. Buddy, I've never been more proud of you, never been more impressed than what I saw today. Kansas City, take care.
You've been listening to Vern's Post.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.